Morning, good morning. Okay, what I do, those of you that don't know me very well, is it's scary to stand up here and do this. It's scary. It's scary to do what Janet does, or, you know, it's just scary to represent Jesus to a bunch of women. And so I want to tell you a joke. Because when I tell my blonde jokes, you laugh and you smile at me, and when you smile at me, I go, okay, I think I can do it. All right, you ready? A blonde is watching the news with her husband when the newscaster says, six Brazilian men die in a skydiving accident. The blonde starts crying to her husband, sobbing, that's horrible. Confused, he replies, yes, dear, it's sad, but they were skydiving, and there's always a risk involved. After a few minutes, the blonde, still sobbing, says, how many is a Brazilian? That has nothing to do with anything. It took me a while to get that one. Ask the Women's Ministry Board to please stand wherever you are. I don't know where anybody is. Chris, Christina, Mary, Darla, and our sweet, wonderful Nancy Foley, who did all of the decorating. Yeah, I probably should have prayed for her on Friday, but I didn't think of it. But God bless her. I did get in touch with her and ask her if she was doing okay. Let me see what else I have here. Oh, I just wanted to announce right now, if you've enjoyed this weekend and you liked hearing David's heart, we're doing Psalms in the fall. Yeah. So our women's ministry will be walking through the Psalms from September. What we do is our Bible study starts in September and we run all the way up to right before this retreat. And then we take a break for the summer. I just want to encourage you with that. I don't know your name, the little girl over here. What's your name? Yeah. Denise?
Katrina.
Denise's daughter. Denise's daughter, that's right. So I was so proud of Kat. Thank you, Kat. There's always one little spunky girl who does it every time I do this. So I thought, you know, I'm just going to put it out there, and there might be one, and there was. So that's going to, I'm just blessed, because that's going to change her life, having that memorized and hidden in her heart. David said, thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. So she's got that whole psalm hidden in her heart, which is awesome. But if you can't do that, and I've been trying to do it for three retreats, I'm not quite there yet, because I'm 62. I want you to remember these three things, and I'm going to have you say them after me, okay? Cleanse me,
cleanse me,
restore me,
restore me,
and use me.
And use me.
Okay? You can do that, right?
Yeah.
Right? And so, Katrina, that's what she said to me right before I came up. She goes, I can remember cleanse me, restore me, and use me. I said, yes! Good, good. And I wanted to tell you that, I don't know if you know this or not, but no one is more influential in your life than you are. Because no one talks to you more than you do, right? Right, yeah. Will you preach a gospel of fear or one that gives courage and hope and joy? That's my question to you. As you leave this place today, no one is more influential to you than you. Yeah, right? We can't get away from ourselves. Every day we're talking, talking to ourselves. Will you preach a gospel of fear and discouragement, or will you preach a gospel that gives you courage and hope and joy? And so let's pray. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for these women. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that I never have to do this alone, that you're always with me, and that you always do a work far greater than anything I could ever imagine. And so I lift this final message up to you, Lord. I pray that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven, that these ladies, Lord, would leave here with a power and a strength they've never had before, that they would draw from the well that never runs dry, and that they would see you and hear you and listen and obey you, Lord, so that you can bless the righteous. You say that you bless the righteous, Lord. So I pray that we would be the righteous women that decide that it's only Jesus and that we're living for Jesus as we leave this place. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I wanted to give you one of my favorite quotes. I love, love, love women's ministry. Always have. Scared me to death when I was first saved because I was a wreck. And I didn't really know how to have relationships with women. And, I used to fight them. And I mean, really? I used to get in fights with them before I got saved. And so, So it's a total miracle that God took this stupid little girl that beat up women and made her a woman's ministry leader. Okay. I always say way too much up here. Okay. So here's my favorite girlfriend quote. That's right. Amen. Yeah. A real girlfriend is one to whom I can pour out the contents of my heart, chaff and grain together, knowing that her gentle hands, will take it and sift it and keep what is worth keeping, and with the breath of kindness, blow the rest away. Amen. Isn't that a great quote? That's my all-time favorite girlfriend quote for women's ministry. So our first message was God's mercy. God's mercy was in David's truthfulness. If we want God's mercy, if we want to be cleansed, we've got to get truthful. And that's sometimes really hard to do. So I commend you. Keep trying. If you haven't even gotten there yet, don't give up. Keep trying. And God will cleanse you. The second one was God's joy. God's joy was in David's restoration. God knew that David was going to sin before he ever called him a man after his own heart. And he wants to restore every one of us. What is that verse that says? He doesn't want any to perish, but all to come to repentance. And so today, the final one is God's sacrifice, is David's brokenness. He doesn't want, in the Old Testament, when there was sin, the blood had to be shed for the remission of sin. They had an altar, and they would sacrifice animals, and the sweet aroma would go up to God, and then God would be able to forgive. Well, Jesus was that sacrifice for us. His blood was shed so that we could be set free. And so God's sacrifice is in David's brokenness. It says, "A broken and contrite heart, O Lord, you will not despise." And so that David realized that, you know what? All I need to do is be broken before God. It's not hard. I just have to surrender and realize that Jesus paid it all. When Jesus hung on the cross, he said, "It is finished. It's done." So all I have to do is surrender. He said, "Be gracious to me, wash me thoroughly, and cleanse me." Saturday morning. He said, "Make me hear joy and gladness, create in me a clean heart, and restore my joy," last night. And now this morning he says this, "Then I will teach others your ways, and then I will sing of your righteousness, and the sacrifices you want is my humble heart." I figured it out, Lord. You're not mad at me. You don't hate me. You're big enough to forgive my stupid sins, and all you're looking for is a humble heart. And life is not just about existing. When you are forgiven and free of guilt and shame, you want to give back. And that's, when we can get rid of the backpack that we talked about Saturday morning, and we're not all weighed down with sin and guilt and shame, then our lives are able to bless all those around us because we have hope ourselves. If you want to be used by God, get rightly related to Jesus Christ, and he will make use of you unconsciously every minute of your life. This happens to me all the time. I remember working in the hospital back east. I've been there a very short time, but I live for Jesus. I don't care who's around me. I'm not going to sin. No, I'm not going to sin, at least not purposefully anyway. And so the girls I worked with, they would do things that I wouldn't do. Even right now, every time we have a Christmas party, everybody's drinking. I will not drink. And so that's who I am. That's how I live. And so I was living that way at my new hospital, worked there for 4 years. And just being me and Jesus. I love trying to love the girls, but I can't become like them. And so, you know, I don't know what they're doing. That's their business. I had my church and my women's ministry and all that, but I'm just being me in the hospital. And then we moved to California. And not long after we moved here, I got this little card in the mail. And it was from a little girl who worked on the other side, on hospital floor. The nursing station was in the middle, and then we have two sides, right? So a little girl. Honestly, I don't think I remember ever even talking to her. And she wrote me this beautiful card and told me how I lived my life as a nurse in that hospital, how it made her want to know God, and how she ended up going to church, and then her husband ended up going to church with her, and then they bring their kids to church. I mean, it was just, I still have the card. It meant the world to me, and I was completely oblivious. You know, it was unconscious. God was doing his work unconsciously, and he will do that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. It's not hard. Just put Jesus first, and don't make choices that would displease him. Yeah. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That keeps it easy. You don't have to put out a whole bunch of fires. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to try and straighten out everybody in your family. You know, just seek ye first the kingdom of God. Get your eyes on Jesus. Read your Bible in the morning, even if it's just a psalm. And let the Holy Spirit start ministering to your soul and teaching you and helping you to grow in Jesus. David said, if God would cleanse him and restore him, he would teach sinners about the forgiveness of God and begin to sing of God's righteousness. He said that it begins with brokenness, and that brokenness is the greatest sacrifice we can ever offer to God. Our emptiness determines our filling. The more we hunger and thirst for righteousness, the more we will be filled. The message of this psalm is that there is no sin or combination of sins that can separate us from the love of God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
No sin or combination of sins that can separate us from the love of God. That anyone can appeal to God for forgiveness, for moral restoration, for the ability to resume a joy-filled life of fellowship and service if they come to God in brokenness and receive God's grace and forgiveness. David went on to live a God-blessed life after the murder and adultery because he believed that God was big enough to forgive and blot it out. That's what he prayed. Blot it out, Lord. Pour your blood all over it so nobody even knows that's who I was. And that's my story. He blotted it out. I mean, you guys think I'm holy, right? Me and God, we really know who I am. So the first thing tonight is, then I will teach transgressor your ways and sinners will be converted. There is nothing greater to learn in this life than the lesson of receiving God's forgiveness and giving it to others. I don't know about you, but many girls go to churches where perfection is what's held up as the banner, like Jolita, right? And how discouraging is that for somebody coming out of the world who needs hope and mercy and grace and forgiveness? There is no greater lesson to learn in life than the lesson of receiving God's forgiveness and giving it to others. And so I challenge you as you leave here this weekend, don't be ugly and self-righteous. Be vessels of God's mercy. That's why you like me. I have nothing to stand on of my own. I am who I am because of the grace of God and his mercy and forgiveness in my life. So I challenge you, offer that to the people that are struggling around you. Offer that mercy and love to them. Number two, he says, then I will joyfully sing of your righteousness. Once we really receive the forgiveness of God, we can be restored back into a right relationship with him where there's nothing between us and the Lord. And it's just pure fellowship, sweet, filling, and good stuff. This creates a new song of worship in our hearts. Psalm 43 says, he has put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to God, and many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord, because I'm going to sing that song to everybody I know. Isaiah 42:10 says, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing his praises from the ends of the earth. And so I'm going to read you another one of my poems. It's called My Life Sings. My life sings to those around me. Every verse comes from above. Rooms are filled with heaven's music as my life reflects his love. There are little ones, Larissa. That's my daughter. Do you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. There are little ones who see me, watching every move I make, singing right along beside me, taking every step I take. Give to me a song of service. Season every line with grace. Write my life song in contentment, giving faith its proper place. Does my song reflect God's kindness? Introduce them to my King? Set before them joy and mercy? Do they hear the song I sing? I must sing of God's great patience, sing the tune of joy-filled days, hum a lullaby of goodness, so they'll know his thoughts, his ways. Could my lips, now, guard my lips from slander, gossip, shut the door on selfish pride. Sing to them a song of Jesus, so in him they will confide. Amen?
Amen.
We have a song to sing, not only to our kids, but to our coworkers and to our husbands. God loves us so much, and he cares for us far more than we care for ourselves sometimes. He brings into our lives difficult circumstances because he knows what needs to be worked out in us. Oh. Yeah. We prefer to hide our sin, but often he takes great effort to unearth and uncover things we would rather keep hidden. He knows that they are like heavy chains on our soul, causing discouragement and depression. He wants to bring healing into the deepest places of our soul, to free us from the bondage of sin. He was very faithful to David. He never gave up, always unearthing and uncovering so that he could bring the light of his truth and forgiveness into the darkest chapter of David's life to set him free. That's how faithful God is. He wants to bring his light into the darkest chapters of our life so that we can be free of them. Amen?
Amen.
And let me just say this. Nobody's life should be defined by its worst chapter. Amen?
Amen?
I mean, who would do that? Nobody's life should be defined by one bad chapter. He's still writing the book for his glory. Nehemiah 9:17 says, "You are a God of forgiveness, gracious, abounding in loving kindness, and you did not forsake them." Acts 10:43 says, "Everyone who believes in him receives the forgiveness of sins." And Acts 3:19 says, "Therefore repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away in order that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." That's his will for your life, that we would repent and turn away from sin and that times of refreshing would come from the presence of the Lord. May you be honest with God about the hurts in your heart. May you discern the difference between grief and self-pity. There's a big difference between those two things. May you be okay with not always being okay, right? Sometimes we have to be okay with not always being okay, especially if God's working big time in our lives. God will one day wipe away every tear from your eyes, but until then, he wants to help you walk this journey with peace in your heart and assurance in your soul. He is with you. He will heal you. And he will one day turn your mourning into dancing and in your sorrow into songs of joy. That's a promise. He makes beauty from ashes. The oil of joy comes from mourning. Grab that promise. In the meantime, Enjoy the little graces you find along the way and celebrate the small victories. But just know that God will never, ever give up on you. And I know that some girls have come here. Some of you girls have come there this weekend. And the things that I've said to you are really hard. They're really hard to hear because you're going to have to go home and face whatever circumstance it is that's causing you to feel discouraged or hopeless or whatever. And so I wanted to leave you with, I'll tell you the story. I know that stories are alive. I got hurt really bad. That's where all these poems came from. So I was struggling to forgive. I was becoming bitter. I was becoming that house that you heard last night. So one morning I was sitting in my chair, and back then my husband and I, he would make a fire and he would do his devotions and I would do mine in the mornings. And my husband asked me to go to dinner with the person that hurt me. I wasn't ready for that. I couldn't do it. I was nowhere near. You're hearing these poems after 7 years of God working on me and getting me to a place of forgiveness and repentance and all that. And so I love my husband. I would do anything for my husband. And so I was doing my devotions and I'm, oh God, how do I do this? And maybe you have to do that too. Maybe you need to face somebody that's hurt you really bad. Sitting in my chair and begging God to help me forgive and to not live a life and not change my soul into bitterness, hatred, anger, and vengeance and self-pity and all that stuff. And the Lord gave me my very first poem. I'd never written a poem before. He said, Meef, get a piece of paper. No, it was in my journal. Get your journal and just start writing. And so I did. And I wrote my very first poem, and I decided that I was going to go to dinner with that person because I love my husband. Okay. And Jesus said to me, all you have to do, Meef, is sense my presence in that room. That's all you gotta do. And I thought, I can do that. If he's with me, if my powerful, almighty God is with me, I can do anything. And so he said, just sense my presence. I'll go with you. So I wrote this. It's called Sense His Presence in the Room. I will see him in the darkness. And I will feel him in the gloom. Though his special touch seems distant, sense his presence in the room. I will trust him without answers. I will trust and wait and rest, knowing that his ways are sovereign and his ways are always best. He will fill my empty heartache. He will comfort all my pain. Though the path seems dark and lonely, trusting him will make it plain. How unsearchable his judgments, how unfathomable his ways. He is mighty in his power and persistent through my days. Just bring all your thoughts to Jesus. Stop the madness and silence doubt. Take your troubled soul to Jesus, for he knows what you're about. Let him drench your soul with patience. Let him wash away your gloom. Let him take away your anguish. sense his presence in the room. I never wrote a poem. That was full-blown the Holy Spirit. And I was just writing. So I know that some of you are going to leave this place. And you got stuff hard face to stop. There's stuff to face. And I just challenge you to sense his presence in the room. When it gets harder than you can endure, when you feel like you're just going to go under and not be able to get back up, sense his presence in the room. I pray that Psalm 51 will become a part of your life, a tool in your pocket to help you navigate through life, that you'll remember what God did for and was able to do for David, and so that you will know that he is able to do it for you as well. There is so much pain and heartache out there in the world. We need to lead women to God's word for healing. Amen? Yeah, women are hurting all over the place in our workplaces, and I see 15 to 18 patients a day, and I see it. I see it. Sometimes they're crying with me in my office because of their one. Just Thursday, one girl's husband was killed in December in a car wreck on his way to work, and she's trying to figure life out, and he did all the bills, and he did all the, you know what I mean? And so I said, can I pray with you? You know, so I prayed with her. She's crying. We're hugging. I don't even know this person. But the hurting world needs to know about Jesus, needs to learn about Jesus. And I'm going to ask Janet and the girls to come up. The Bible says in 1 John 3:16 that we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and that we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. There is nothing that brings me more joy than serving Jesus Christ in women's ministry and in the church. It's my greatest treasure. I just love it that because of all that Jesus has done for me, I get to give. I get to help other girls grow and become like where's Amanda? Like my little Amanda. Oh, there's just. It's you know, and when you get to be my age, you hope that somebody will listen to you. It has been my pleasure to share this journey through Psalm 51 with you this weekend. And he will have his bride. You are his bride. He will have his bride free of all her guilt, rid of all her shame, and known by her new name. Go ahead, can you sing that one for me? Yeah. Forever and ever. He will never turn his back on us. He will never angrily throw our sin in our faces. He will never withdraw his presence and his promises, no matter how messed up we continue to be, because our standing with him is not based on our performance, but on his perfect loving kindness and the greatness of his compassion. I'm going to ask you all to stand. And we're going to sing that song one more time. And I'm going to challenge you. God wants an army of strong women who aren't afraid to stand in truth, who aren't afraid to make right choices, even when it costs. And so if you raise your hand this weekend and you mean business with God, and you truly do want your joy restored, or maybe you've never made a decision for Christ. Some of you have come to me this weekend and told me you're thinking about it. And I respect that. It's a huge decision. It's one that you shouldn't take lightly. If you've decided that this is your weekend and you want Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, then while Janet and the girls sing this song, I'm going to ask you to just come forward. Come, just walk right up to the front and stand and show everybody that you mean business with Jesus Christ.
Be on my lips.
And maybe you're here, and you have been robbed of your joy. You've been a believer for a long time, and you've been robbed of your joy, and you want that joy restored. I'm going to ask you to come. Come. Do you want your joy restored? I want to come down there.
Yeah.
You know, come. Come forward. I'm going to pray a prayer over these girls. If you want your joy restored, come. Come forward. This is your time. This is your weekend, and God is going to do it. It's going to be a miracle, and he is going to do it. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. I thank you for these humble, precious women, Lord. Lord, they want their joy restored. Jesus, you are in the business of restoring joy. Lord, you do not hold our sins against us, but you are a forgiving, loving, powerful, faithful, wonderful, gracious God. And so, Father, I lift each one of them. You see them, Lord. You know them. You've known them from the day they were conceived in their mother's womb. Lord, you see their hurts. You see their pain. You see their difficulties. Lord Jesus, I pray that they would sense your presence in the room. Father, that they would feel you holding them or even carrying them, Lord, through whatever difficulty it is that they have to go through. Thank you for their humility. Father, I pray you would bless them, that you would fill them to overflowing with your spirit, that this weekend, Psalm 51, will have changed the future for them, Lord. That you will give them a strength to operate in the power of your spirit in their marriages, in their homes, in the workplace, Lord. Father, we ask for a miracle. Do what you did for David, for these girls, I pray. Isaiah 62, 3 through 4 says this. You will be called by a new name. You will be a crown of beauty in the hands of the Lord, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. It will no longer be said of you forsaken or desolate, but you will be called, are you ready? This is your new name. My delight is in her. God's delight is in you. You are his precious girls. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And just pass the ball. You can all go back to your seats, and I love you for coming and committing that to the Lord.